Would you like to trade in your cross? This is Father Scott Seethaler. What follows next is a joyful reflection. It's Thursday, and by this point in the week, people are really starting to get on your nerves. Remember the words from the musical Les Miserables? One of the last songs has, for me, very wonderful words. To love another person is to see the face of God. Wow. Stop. Come on. I know I say that every Thursday, and maybe you're getting used to me saying that. No, stop. Would you say it with me right now? To love another person is to see the face of God. Do you believe that? I mean, it's based on so much of what Jesus says, what you do to the least of my brothers and sisters, you do to me. Right? The big shock to people that Jesus dwells in others. Jesus dwells in your brother and sister, your parents, your kids, your neighbors, your boss, the people you don't particularly like. It takes a mystic, huh? Well, there's that word again. I talk about mystic every once in a while. Takes what I call domestic mystic to be able to recognize the presence of Jesus in my family. Why is that so difficult? Because we have these expectations. I expect my family to do it my way. I expect my family to meet my needs. I expect my family to overlook my failures. I don't overlook theirs. I expect my family, yada, 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 yada. It's true. Work, school, neighbors. And then when people don't live up to my expectation, I become disappointed, and with the disappointment comes anger. With the anger, I can lash out, or I can forget that they're standing there. They're that person who's bothering me, is the presence of Jesus for me. Difficult lesson, huh? Had Christians over the past 2,000 years really embraced that kind of thinking? Don't you think our world would be a lot better today, a lot different? Yeah. Well, today's scripture passage that we're going to break open and hopefully be fed by it is from Luke's Gospel, chapter 14, verse 27. Short verse. Jesus says, "Anyone who does not carry his cross and follow me cannot be my disciple." Boy, that's it. Period. Exclamation point. Underline. Emphasis. You know, when Jesus wants to emphasize something, he often goes, "Amen, amen, I say to you." Boy, he could have said it with this one. "Amen, amen, I say to you, anyone who does not carry his cross and follow me cannot be my disciple." Well, it's not easy to talk about carrying crosses. None of us are into pain. None of us gets real jollies out of having to carry a cross, a health problem, a family problem, a job problem, a financial problem. No. It's become harder in recent years because our society has become very soft with high expectations that everything should be perfect. Everything should go easy. Everything should, the first time we try it, be complete, correct, without a mistake. And we take that into our family relationships too, don't we? Yeah, we all have a cross to carry. Everybody listening to this program right now has a cross to carry. And some of you may be carrying heavy crosses. So I need to immediately say to you, I don't want to be cavalier here. I don't want to be flippant. I don't want to understate the fact that you might be carrying right now a very heavy cross in your life. And that's why I said at the beginning of the program in a form of a question, would you like to trade in your cross? And I wouldn't be surprised if many of you are shaking your head yes now, or actually talking back to the radio and saying, "Yes, I would." Well, that raises the question, do you think your next cross will be easier to carry? Do you really want to pick your cross? Do you think you have the wisdom to choose your cross in a way that will make you more like Jesus and help you get to heaven? I wouldn't go there if I were you. I think it's very wise to carry the cross that we've been given. We can only do this by a leap of faith and be able to say, God will never give us a cross, give me personally a cross that I cannot carry. Why some people seem to have a very, very, very heavy cross to carry compared to other people is a mystery. That's not a cop-out. When I use the word mystery, I'm talking about dealing with God, right? Dealing with God. To deal with God is always a mystery. Who knows the mind of God? Who knows why God allowed us to have this particular cross? You know, if we're not careful, we'll start complaining against God. And then that's going to be like a snowball running down the side of a mountain. It gets bigger and bigger and bigger. It's going to gain force. And next thing you know, we're either going to say, I don't want to have anything to do. I don't believe in God. I don't want to have anything to do with this God who seems to get his jollies out of seeing people carrying big crosses. No, I don't think God ever gives any person a cross they cannot carry. But go ahead, raise the question. Well, when it comes into focus, the cross I have to carry, whatever it may be, how do I carry it? How do I handle it? All right. Well, I want to mention four things. Number one, you got to take one day at a time. Usually we can put up with something for one day that if we thought we had to put up with it the rest of our lives, we wouldn't get out of bed. Okay? So keep your focus very, stay focused. Keep it right in this day. This is the day. I'm going to carry the cross today. Even if I'm feeling overwhelming, I'm making my commitment here to get to the end of the day without being overwhelmed by my cross. Without complaining a lot, without becoming angry, without become accusatory of other people. Okay, so it's that whole one day at a time philosophy that absolutely works, but is difficult. And most people have a very difficult time staying in today. Their mind races, I'm going to have to carry this cross for the rest of my life. Well, could you imagine even thinking that? You may or may not. But when people say, I'm going to have to carry this cross for the rest of my life, they're usually implying 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, 50 years of carrying this cross. And even thinking in those terms, you can see why people would get depressed or despair. But how do any of us know that our life will go on next minute from now? Next hour? That's why you have to live in the day. Right now. Today. Today. Don't project it into the future. It'll overwhelm you. Number two. None of these should be a surprise to you if you listen regularly to the program. It's your prayer. How do you pray? You pray, you make this leap of faith, you say the act of faith, God, I believe that you are not going to give me more than I can handle. Therefore, as much as this cross is a burden to me, I believe that you will strengthen me, that you will give me the courage, that you will send the right people into my life, that you will work behind the scenes for medical technology or other form of technology, or open up the doors so your finances are not so crushing. I believe that, God. I wait in joyful hope. We say that after our Father in the Mass. Waiting in joyful hope. We got to wait in joyful hope for God to break into our life in such a way that we see some permanent relief. Number three, you go to Scripture. You got to go to Scripture. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, you just dive into Scripture. You immerse yourself in the Scripture because Scripture is the Word of God. Scripture where you're going to hear God say to you, I won't give you more than you can handle. It is Scripture that will talk about how your crosses, the crosses that you carry in your life will be redemptive. Absolutely. Absolutely. Go to Scripture. And that's where a lot of people are weak. That part of their spiritual life is very weak. They don't take time for Scripture. They read books and magazines and detective stories and novels and internet. But read the Scripture. Remember, if you're not reading Scripture, especially in the New Testament, because the New Testament doesn't need a lot of commentary. John's Gospel does. Mark's Gospel hardly needs any commentary because Mark's Gospel is not this real theoretically based special teaching of Jesus that's only meant for his disciples. No. John, there's an urgency of just laying out what happened to Jesus and his disciples. But it's, you got to read the scriptures for consolation, for strength, for wisdom, for courage, for insight. Okay, so one was take one day at a time. Two is pray, 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 pray. Three is read scripture. And now here's number four. You have to have a support group. A support group, whether it's your family, close friends, extended family, church, fellowship, you need a support group when you're having your cross. When your cross really starts acting up, when your cross becomes a source of great exhaustion, when your cross looks like it's going to crush you because you're about to fall underneath it and be crushed, you need a support group. We're not supposed to be lone rangers. Christianity is not a religion of you and me, God. It's you and we, God. So I encourage you to make sure you have a support group, especially if you're going through some very difficult times right now. Now, in dealing with all of that, let me say to you that, and I'm going to use a word that's made up. It's called wantivation. Okay? Wantivation, want, and motivation. Okay? So it's called wantivation. This was written by a man named Thomas Harris. Thomas Harris is quoted as saying there are three things that give people the wantivation to change. One, they must hurt sufficiently. Two, they must experience despair or boredom. And three, they must suddenly discover they can change. Okay? So you must want to be able to change any negative feelings that you have about the cross that you're carrying. You must see it as we sing during the Easter season, the Lenten Easter season, lift high the cross. Because it's through the cross that we are saved. We lift high the cross. What for centuries people considered a sign of sadness and despair, a sign of punishment and abuse, we see the sign as a sign of salvation. It's our faith, it's our belief in Jesus Christ that allows us to lift high the cross. All right, today's prayer partners, please pray for our Holy Father. Ask God to bless our Holy Father with all the particular graces that he needs in his life. Can you imagine being the Pope? All the pressure on you. Dear God, bless him. And please pray for our Holy Father every day if you would. Today's food for thought. Listen to this. If your life is free of failures, you are not taking enough risk. Amen? Amen. Today's small attempt to make you smile or laugh, it's of course about atheists. Have you heard about the boy who was raised by atheists? He asked his parents one day, Mom, Dad, do you think God knows that we don't believe in him? Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. And where there is sadness, joy.
Joyful, joyful, Lord, we adore thee.